Welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Broadcast with Daniel White III. My name is Danita Evangeline White, and I am the second oldest daughter of Daniel White III. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White III encourages us to keep the soul winner's fire by spreading the good news of Jesus Christ.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to the Soul Winning Motivator Podcast number 150. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International. As always, it is so good to be with you today, to challenge you, to encourage you, to exhort you, and motivate you, if you will, even, to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ right where you are to those who are not believers in Christ by any means necessary. Even though we will share some instructions on how to witness in a practical sense for the Lord from time to time, we believe that you have in you what you already need. We believe that most Christians do not need to learn how to witness for the Lord. They just need to go and do it. So our aim here is more motivational than instructional. Our soul-winning passage from the Word of God today is St. John 15:16, which reads, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Allow me to share with you some insights regarding this passage of Holy Scripture from the expository notes of Dr. Thomas Constable. Again, Jesus stressed that the initiative in the relationship between him and his disciples lay with himself, not them. He probably did this because of their tendency to think too highly of themselves, and since in their culture it was common for disciples to choose their rabbi. Even today, students love to seek out the teacher of their choice and attach themselves to him or her. He had chosen them to be his friends, but he had also appointed them to a specific task. They had a job to do as his servants, a mission to fulfill, a charge to keep, if you will. Part of his purpose for them was that they bear fruit, and that their fruit would have lasting effects. Evidently, the fruit of their missionary outreach was particularly in Jesus' mind, since he linked going with bearing fruit. In this case, new converts are the fruits in view. Asking the Father in prayer in Jesus' name was necessary for fruit bearing to happen. Jesus linked prayer and fruit bearing in a cause and effect relationship. Prayer plays an essential role in the believer's fruitfulness. Allow me to repeat that. Prayer plays an essential role in the believer's fruitfulness. The NIV translation is misleading. It implies that answers to prayer will be the disciples' reward for effective fruit bearing. In the Greek text, there are two purpose clauses, each introduced by henna, that you should go and bear fruit, and that whatsoever you ask the Father, he may give you. these purposes are coordinate. But logically, praying precedes fruit bearing. Praying precedes fruit bearing. Five characteristics of genuine love are detailed in John 15:13-16. True love is sacrificial. It is demonstrated in obedience in Christ. It always communicates truth. It takes the initiative in meeting the legitimate needs of others, and it will always bear fruit with abiding results. Now, beloved, our soul-winning quote for today is from Dr. Oswald J. Smith. He said, "Any church that is not seriously involved in helping fulfill the Great Commission has forfeited its biblical right to exist." Our soul-winning devotional is part 15 of our series titled The Master Plan of Evangelism from Robert E. Coleman. Always remember, Christians, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. The church has been going on for 2,000 years. There's nothing new under the sun. Use what has already been done. Use what has already been written. Pray hard and then work hard. Stop trying to create stuff. This is not necessary. And that's why I use things that have already been done and have worked. I thought I'd just add that to you people who are always, like the Athenians, want something new. You always want to hear something new. There's nothing new under the sun, my dear friend. Okay? What would be new for you is obedience. That's new for you. Obey God. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That's new, okay? Do that new thing for you. Anyway, association, the principle observed. See the tremendous strategy of it. By responding to this initial call, believers in effect enrolled themselves in the master's school, where their understanding could be enlarged and their faith established. There were certainly many things which these men did not understand, things which they themselves freely acknowledged as they walked with him. But all these problems could be dealt with as they followed Jesus in his presence. They could learn all that they needed to know. This principle, which was implied from the start, was given specific articulation later when Jesus chose from the larger group about him, the 12, that they might be with him. He added, of course, that he was going to send them forth to preach or to cast out devils, but often we fail to realize what came first. Jesus made it clear that before these men were to preach or to cast out devils, they were to be with him. In fact, this personal appointment to be in constant association with him was as much a part of their ordination commission as the authority to evangelize. Indeed, it was for the moment even more important, for it was the necessary preparation for the other. Beloved, in our next episode, we will look at association closer as training ends. Let's pray. Holy Father God, thank you for reminding us today through your holy word that evangelism is not just based upon going, but upon kneeling. So, Lord God in heaven, help us to pray first, and then to witness second, and then see the fruit third, for your glory, your praise, and your honor. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Help us to go out and serve our King. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I lovingly encourage you to get to know Him today. May I lovingly encourage you to be saved today. Allow me to show you how. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die physically because of sin, disobedience, and we die spiritually because of sin if we don't trust Christ as Savior and go to a place called hell to suffer the consequences forever. Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, dear friend, this is bad news. I agree. But here's the good news. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," that includes you, "that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live eternally with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if you shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Until next time, my beloved, keep the soul winners fire. God bless you.